Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And so we talked about Jesus being the same, being the same. Did you know Jesus Christ did not have his beginning in a manger in Bethlehem? Christmas, you know, and everybody talks about little baby Jesus away in a manger and all that kind of stuff, you know. That's not the beginning of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is eternal. The manger in Bethlehem of Judea is only where he took on flesh. That's where he became flesh. But Jesus Christ is eternal. He is eternal. So Jesus is the same. We said last week, he's the same in his character. That's who he is. He's the same in his charity. That's what he does for other people. He's the same in his conduct. That means to my way of thinking, that he always does the right thing. So Jesus Christ is eternal. He's God. The Bible, the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 9 in verse number 6, he says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. That's be the millennial kingdom. And his name shall be called Wonderful. This would be for our period of time here. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so that's who Jesus Christ is. All of us, the reason we need to learn about him is because you're saved this morning, you're eventually going to wind up with Jesus Christ, with him physically. You're going to be there with him. You're going to spend all eternity with him. Jesus himself recorded, it is recorded that Jesus said in Revelation chapter 1 in verse number 8, he said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. See, so he is the Almighty. That's what he said to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 17 in verse number 1, God came to Abraham and he said, I am the Almighty God. That's God. That's God saying that I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. So that Almighty God became flesh and his name was Jesus. I'm getting ahead of myself. But the Bible tells us that before the foundation of the world, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse number 20, before the foundation of the world, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost said together that the Son, who was then called the Word of God, his pre-incarnate word, his name, he's called the Word of God. John chapter 1 and verse number 1. I've looked at it 1,000 times, maybe more than that, trying to understand what does that mean. John chapter 1 and verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without anything, and without him was not anything made that was made, see. He is called the Word of God. So when he's called the Word of God, the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost met together and said, the Word of God will become flesh. John chapter 1 and verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld his glory, you see. So God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost met together, said the Son is going to become flesh. He's going to go, he's going to lay aside his splendor. He's going to lay aside his majesty. And he's going to condescend. He's going to go down to the earth. He's going to be born of a virgin. Her name's going to be Mary. And he'd be born in a stable in a small town in the country of Israel. His name will be Jesus, which means Jehovah saves. And he'll live a perfect life, and then he will voluntarily, without reluctance. They didn't have to drag Jesus Christ to the cross. He voluntarily laid down his life on the cross, you see. And he would live a perfect life and then he would go to the cross and he would suffer and bear our sins, his own body, and he'd be buried and he would rise from the dead after 3 days and ascend into heaven and be seated at the right hand of God and there make intercession for us until he comes again. And then the Spirit of God on the earth would woo us and draw us and we would believe. Whenever we would believe in our heart, then he would save our souls. You know, most of the time we all think that we came to Jesus. We came to Jesus. But let me tell you something, folks. He came to you first. Amen. He came to you. He came to me when I didn't know anything. And he convicted me. And he opened my eyes just a little bit. And he somehow showed me, and I heard a little bit here. And I heard a little bit there. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 10 in the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan, this guy's down in the ditch, and the Good Samaritan goes and he goes down into the ditch where he was. And there he bound him up. And folks, that Good Samaritan is a picture of Jesus Christ. He's our Good Samaritan. He came down here. He came where we were. We're without hope and we're unable to do anything. We're lost and undone. But he came to us first. He descended from heaven after laying aside his glory and came down to the earth, was born of the Virgin Mary, and became a man and lived a perfect, sinless life. And then he went to the cross and he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And then he made it so that your part was to believe on him. To believe, to acknowledge that you're a sinner and turn from your own self-righteousness. That's repentance. And then turn to Jesus, you see. But he came to you first. He came to you and he convicted you and he wooed you and he drew you to his side. I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not a Calvinist, but I do believe that he drew us. That's the greatest story ever told. It's called the gospel of Christ. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And whenever we fail in our attempts, we fail in our attempts to live the Christian life, or we just yield to the flesh. We just say, I'm going to go my own way. Then he's the same yesterday and today and forever. He never changes, you see. He never changes. He's always there. He doesn't change whenever we change. He's always merciful. He's always kind. He's always all-powerful. He's always the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I hope these things, I'm going to point out four simple things here for you about the Christian life. And I hope that if they're not practical for you today, I hope they'll be at least spiritually practical. I hope they'll be of some benefit for you. In verse number 9 first. The Bible says there in verse number 9, it says, be not carried about. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. What I would entitle that this, it's not the title of the sermon, but just this one point, is this, that you need to stay, all of us as Christians, we need to stay with things that profit us. There are three things I want to point out to you in that verse right there. Stay with things that will profit you. We should all be learning things, but the Bible tells us here to watch out for divers and strange doctrines. You see that in verse number 9? Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. In other words, don't waste your time and don't spend time on those things that are divers and strange doctrines. They're things outside the Bible. God's already given you everything that you need inside the Bible. Divers and strange doctrines. I just pick out a few that I could think of. Don't waste your time on these things. Don't be carried about. But things like you've heard about being baptized for the dead, that's in the Bible. There's a phrase like that in the Bible. But don't be carried about with these kinds of things. Joseph Smith found some plates. Don't worry about those kind of things. Doesn't amount to anything. Purgatory. Mary's the mother of God. No, she's not. No, Mary's not the mother of God. God doesn't have a mother. He doesn't need a mother. He's eternal. And so Mary ascended into heaven. No, she didn't. She didn't do that, see. Tongues and all that kind of stuff. You see, all that kind of stuff, just a bunch of nonsense. You don't need to spend your time on that time. He said, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. So watch out for those things. Number 2, in the middle of verse number 9, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Spend your time on the doctrines of grace, the things that God has done for you. Spend your time, learn, be established with those kinds of things. You know what those things would be like salvation by grace. Salvation is free. It's for sure. It's forever. Learn that. Get that established in your life. You know the word established, you stab a post down in the ground and it's solid then, you know. You cover it over, you put some cement around it, you put a T-post, you stab it down in the ground, and it's there. See, get solid in that kind of things, you see. Learn about grace. See, he said it's a good thing to be established with grace and not with meats. We'll talk about the meat in just a minute. Amen? get established in salvation, in forgiveness. What does it mean to be in Christ? Be established in those things, in merciful and being merciful, see. Learn about mercy and learn about the love of God and learn about prayer. Those are things, the grace of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. See, learn how to use that verse. Learn how daily that you can come to God no matter where you are and you can pray and you can ask God for things. You don't deserve it. You don't come to God saying, God, I did this, so I expect you to do that. No, you don't deserve anything. I don't deserve anything. God does it by His grace. He does it because He's good, not because we're good, you see. Learn about those things. He said, be established with grace. Be established with grace and things that God has done for us, you see. The love of God and loving God with all of your heart, see. If you just love God with all your heart, that'll solve a lot of your problems. That'll solve our problems right there. We just love God with all of our heart. Every day, I don't know if you do or not, but you know, spend some time get in a room by yourself and say, God, I love you. I love you. Lord Jesus Christ, I love you. Spirit of God, I love you. I love you, God's blessed Trinity. I love you. I love you, Father. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for bearing my sins. Amen. You see, just tell God you love Him. And all those kinds of things. How to witness, how to talk to people. I'm telling you, be established with grace. Learn about those simple things. Did you know that the Christian life is simple? It's not complicated. It's not hard. You know what you need? You need a Bible. That'd be good to have. You need to come to church. You need to learn how to pray. Read your Bible. And see, that'll help you. That'll get you a long way down the line to being a Christian. Y'all remember the story about David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter number 17? David killed the giant with what? Well, David had a sling. He had a sling, and he had this thing on his side here where he put rocks in it. And how many stones did he go out and pick up? He went and picked up what? 5 smooth stones. Now, he didn't need a tank to kill the giant. He didn't need a computer. He didn't need the internet. He didn't need any of that. Just simple things. A rock. He put a rock in that thing and he slung it and killed the giant. And brother, we've been reading about it for the last 3,000 years. The Christian life is like that. It's not simple. You just need simple things in the Christian life. You can do it. We can do without a lot of things that we have. Just keep it simple. Just keep it simple. You see what he said here in that verse? Let your heart be established with grace. Major on the simple things and get these things established in your life. How to pray. How to witness. How to talk to people about the Lord. Pray and tell God you love Him. And all these kind of things. And salvation. You're saved by grace through faith. Plus nothing. Minus nothing. You see. And all those kind of things. You learn those things. Now, so he said, number one, watch out for strange and divers and strange doctrines. Those things outside the Bible, you don't need to waste your time on them. Number two, in that verse, he said, let your hearts be established with grace and not with meats. The meat, let's talk about that for just a minute. Let me read that last phrase for you in verse number 9. He said, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. There's a lot of things that it's good for you to know, but you don't need to spend a lot of time on it. How many of y'all remember we studied in Sunday school about Solomon's throne, and it was made out of what? Made out of ivory. Don't embarrass anybody. Made out of ivory. You got to kill elephants, I think, to get ivory. How many elephants did it take to make Solomon's throne? Well, who knows? But you don't want to spend a bunch of time on that. It's nice to know about it, but you don't have to spend a bunch of time on it. That's what he's talking about, the meat here, see. It's nice to know it, but you don't want to be occupied all the time with that. How many ounces in a talent of gold? I don't know. I don't know. It'd be nice to know, but I'm not going to spend a bunch of time there, see. How much gold in Solomon's shields for his soldiers? I don't know. Nice to know, but I'm not going to spend my time there. We're not going to be occupied thereby. Y'all get what I'm talking about? In the middle of that verse, he said, it is a good thing for the heart to be established with grace. Spend your time on the doctrines of grace, the things that that God has done for you, prayer and salvation. Get those things established. Here's the second lesson for you in verse number 10, 11, 12, and 13. This is a good one. Everybody look up here. Here's my point. For you as a Christian, do not be afraid to be an outsider. Don't be afraid to be an outsider. Let me tell you something. If you love God, and I'm sure you do, or you wouldn't be here, you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Don't just be a nominal Christian. That's somebody in name only. Come to work. Come to work. You got saved. You saved to serve. Be a Christian all the way. Don't be a nominal Christian. The Bible says here, I'm short on time, but the Bible says here we're to go to Him bearing His reproach. Don't be afraid to be an outsider. Don't be afraid to let other people know that you're saved, that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Let me read those verses for you. Verse number 10, we have an altar. That would be the cross. Whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. That'd be those in the Old Testament. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. Verse 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sins are burned without the camp. They took their hide and their hair and their dung and everything and burned it outside the camp. It's a picture of Jesus bearing our sins. Verse number 12, wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gates. See, they took Him outside Jerusalem, outside the gates, and He was crucified outside the gates. Outside of the establishment. Here's the verse for you, folks. Do not be afraid to be an outsider. Oh, I want to be popular. Oh, I want everyone to accept me. Oh, I'm just in school and I just want everybody to accept me. You're never going to be much of a Christian that way. If you're going to be a silent Christian, okay, you can do that. But if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, who died for you on the cross, who shed His blood, who went outside the gate and bore your sins, sins that you haven't even committed yet. If you're going to be a Christian, not in name only, then you'll never be the most popular person in town. We're not going to be the most popular church in town because the preacher hollers sometimes. And some people want a nice preacher, a nice little preacher. I'm not always that way. We're never going to be the most popular church. We're not on the square. We're on the outside. We're outside the gate here. See, that's the city limits right over there, that little alleyway over there, see. We're in the perfect place. Don't be afraid to go outside the camp. Don't be afraid to bear His reproach. Don't be afraid to say, I believe the Bible. Amen. I believe it all, from front to back. You see, don't be afraid to go outside the camp. Don't be afraid to bear His reproach. You see, amen. A third lesson is verse number 14. Verse number 14. Kind of goes along with it. Everybody look here and let me tell you what the point is. Don't get too settled down in this world. You know why? Because it's not permanent. This world is not permanent. Look what he says in verse 14. For here, that's here in this world, we have no continuing city. Any city that you want to name on the face of the earth is not permanent. It's going to vanish away. New York City, Los Angeles, any city that you want to name, it's not permanent. Here, we have no continuing city. Don't get too settled down in this world. Do the best you can and use everything you got for the Lord, but one of these days, you're going to leave it all. If Jesus were to come today, well, you wouldn't even need to go back home. You wouldn't get to go back home. If Jesus comes this morning before we get finished here, you're just going to leave your clothes here and you're going to go up in the air and get a new body on the way up, see? Amen. That'd be the best thing, wouldn't it? See, all those problems we're talking about, well, that'd solve them all, wouldn't it? You wouldn't have to worry about any bills that you got. You wouldn't have to worry about your bank account, see. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Brother, there is coming a permanent city. Ms. Carmichael, there's coming a permanent city. You'll have a permanent body. This thing we got here, see, you don't want to live in it forever. Turn your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, back to the back of the Bible, and verse number 1. Here, John, Revelation 21, and let's see, verse number 1. And I saw, here John talking, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. See, the whole earth been corrupted by sin. The first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city. Now, see, that's that permanent city that's coming. That's the one you're seeking to come right there. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. That's heaven for you. That's where you're going to spend eternity, see. That's the New Jerusalem. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband, and heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. In verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. See, I know some of y'all, you got problems. Everybody's got problems everywhere in this town, every other town. All kinds of things that sin has brought into this world, you see. But God himself shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away, you see. Amen? So we don't have a permanent city here. Don't get too settled down in this world. Always remember, it's just temporary. It's just temporary, see. That's why I've told you before, I hadn't said it in quite a while, but some people say, I don't want to live in a single-wide trailer house. It doesn't bother me to live in a single-wide trailer house. You know why? Because it's mobile. It's a mobile home. You can move it around, you know. You're going to leave it one of these days anyway, you see. Doesn't bother me at all. That's 3 points that I've given you. Number one is stay in the doctrines of grace. And number two, don't be afraid to go outside the camp with Jesus. And number three, don't get too settled down in this world. There's one more in verse 15, 16. And that's this. Spend your time praising and thanking God as a Christian. Spend your time praising and thanking God. Spend a little time. I don't know how much you pray. I don't know how much you read your Bible. A lot of Christians don't do much of it. But you ought to spend a little bit of time. If you can't do a lot, do a little bit. Notice what he said in verse number 15. Now, see, before I read it, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ has already come and offered the perfect sacrifice on the cross. You are not, never, ever to offer a literal sacrifice, such as a wafer, such as a cup of juice that's supposedly blood. You're never supposed to do that kind of stuff. Your sacrifice has already been offered on the cross one time forever. It is never to be repeated. Your sacrifice now is what we're going to read about right here. This is your sacrifice. Your sacrifice in verse number 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice. See, this is your sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's your sacrifice right there. He's already offered the literal sacrifice. He's already shed the blood. The sin's already paid for, and you can't add to it. Verse number 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, that's your sacrifice. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You ever wonder what you're supposed to be doing? Well, that's it right there. With those things, God is well pleased. You spend some time. Either with somebody or by yourself, like I was telling you a while ago, just thanking God. God, thank you. God, thank you. Did you know The Bible says if you have food and raiment, that's what God has promised you. Food and raiment, 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I forgot the verse, but he said, if you have food and raiment, then you are supposed to be content. Now, how many Americans can do that? How many Americans can be content with food and raiment? Not very many. Not very many. Food and raiment. Be content. You know what he promised you? He promised you in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19, but my God shall supply all of your what? Needs. Needs. Your needs. What do you need? Well, you need food and raiment. That, you need food. If you got that, then you're blessed. If you slept between sheets last night, you're blessed. If you had a pillow last night, you're blessed. If you had a few other things to go along with that, then you're really blessed. See, we're all blessed in America, see. Well, I mean, beyond what most people, you know anything about. Amen? But see, that's the fourth point that I'm talking to you about here. We could have went on to the end of the chapter, but don't have time. We'll get it next week, possibly, Lord willing. So spend your time praising God and thanking God. That's the fruit of your lips. That's your sacrifice. That's what you give to the Lord. See, but to do good for other people, and to communicate. Communicate here is giving. That's what we're talking about, giving to Brother Venegas. If I didn't mention that, Brother Venegas is trying to buy property so he can build a church. I guess I did. With those things, you say, well, I just don't have enough to give. Everybody can give something. I mean, I don't have time, but I could tell you about the woman there that Jesus talked about, and she gave her last mite, and he said she gave it more than all the rich people. You know why? Because she gave out of her poverty. She gave out of her poverty, see. If you can't give a lot, don't be guilty of giving nothing, see. We're not going to waste it. Nobody's going to waste it. Nobody's going to steal it and use it for the wrong thing or anything like that. You see, learn how to give and to help others. Give, send out missionaries. Support the church. Look here, folks, if we don't support the church here, who's going to do that? Who's going to send out the missionaries? We've got to do some things, you see. It does take a little bit of money. So we're supposed to do that first, amen? If you're here this morning, you're not saved. Jesus died for you and he wants you to be saved. He wants you to be saved. Everybody's got problems. He's going to help you. Learn how to praise God and thank God through your problems and all that, see? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon these words. And God, I just pray that you'll apply these things to the hearts of your people today. And thank you for the privilege to preach to them, speak to them, read the Bible to them, show them some things, God. I pray that you'll bless them and help them, God. And God, for somebody here that's not saved, let me stop with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Anybody here that you say, I don't know if I'm saved. I'm not sure. But I am concerned about it. Anybody like that, would you lift your hand? We've had a lot of folks saved recently. We baptized one last Sunday. We're grateful for that. Maybe somebody else is ready to get baptized. You can let me know.